This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. All praises for Allah, we praise Him, we thank Him, we ask Him for His help, and we ask Him for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our actions. Whoever is guided by Allah, then no one can misguide them. And whoever is misguided, then no one can guide them except for Allah Ta'ala. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is His final messenger, Mabad. First of all, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I just want to take this opportunity to welcome all of you here today. You know, alhamdulillah, it's truly a blessing to be amongst you all, inshallah, seeing your beautiful faces, alhamdulillah. May Allah raise you and make you from those who are raised with the white and bright faces on your qiyamah due to the sincerity of your iman, inshallah. Again, like I said, I apologize, we haven't got the ignition going. We're trying to work on that for you. I know it's hot, subhanAllah. But inshallah, we ask Allah that you will feel the sisterhood of being here with us today, inshallah. And may Allah increase us, inshallah, in our iman and knowledge, inshallah, within that. Okay, so the subject I've chosen to speak about today is basically the blessing of seeking knowledge and how, subhanAllah, seeking knowledge is truly, once you start on this path of seeking knowledge, how it brings so much blessing into your life and enriches your life in so many ways which you don't realize. Like we go to many lessons, we hear about the rewards in the akhirah of seeking knowledge, but we don't hear much about how does seeking knowledge actually bring so much blessing to you in this life before the next, inshallah. This is what I wanted to concentrate more of my talk on today. And also, how do we go about seeking knowledge and how do we balance it with our life? With our life of being a mother, being a wife, subhanAllah, it's not easy, alhamdulillah, it's not. Okay, so one of the reasons, that I feel very passionate about talking about this subject is because, subhanAllah, we have to realise the role of women, the role of the mother in particular, in how she can enhance this ummah. Like, if we ever hope to bring back the izzah, to bring back the honour to this ummah, we have to realize one of the greatest ways of bringing back that izzah to this ummah is through the education of the women, through the education especially of the mother. Because subhanAllah, dear sisters, the mother, she is the first madrasa, she is the first school, subhanAllah. As one of the mashaykh, he said that the mother is the first madrasa. If she is salihah, if she is righteous, then the offspring will be righteous. So the main thing is the mother, because you know that in general the fathers are busy. In general, especially in life today, the way life goes today, our life is we're always in a hurry and there's so much going on in life. So subhanAllah, that you find in general the men are busy with their work outside. So this is why, who's left behind to raise this child and to instill in them the values and the morals of Islam and to implant in them the correct aqidah and the correct tarbiyah? It's the mother. So we have to realize the role of the mother. And as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, women are half of this ummah. Women are half of this ummah, and they raise the other half. So this is why we see, subhanAllah, what is the power behind teaching women and educating women about their deen. In many ways, it could be even more important to educate the woman about the deen than the father, subhanAllah, because she's the one who spends the majority of the time with the children. So this is why I feel very passionate about this topic, and that's why, alhamdulillah, I feel very blessed to be involved with, teaching young sisters or, even adults. I teach mothers as well, alhamdulillah. And mashallah, we have many different classes on in different places teaching the sisters of the community. And this is the way forward for our ummah. Like, you see through history when women didn't have much knowledge of religion, you see the effect has a big effect on the men of the ummah. But when the women had knowledge, when they had strong iman, like, go to look at, like, inshallah, one day, if I have a chance, I'll go through the stories. And if you look at the mother of Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih, you know, subhanAllah, is due to the, you know, the wisdom of his mother and the encouragement of his mother that he became, of course, after Allah. But one of the main factors of him becoming such a great leader was due to his mother, Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Ahmad, you know, Imam al-Shafi'i. If you look behind their stories, it's all got to do with the mother from the very beginning. So she's the first madrasa for the men of this ummah and for the women of this ummah, because she's raising, obviously, if you're raising girls, you're raising the future mothers of this ummah as well. So this is why it's so important for the mother to be educated, subhanAllah. Okay, so that's in regards to the great effect on this ummah, inshallah, if we can educate the women of this ummah. But besides that, okay, what are the blessings on you as an individual? Let's talk about that. Because, well, first of all, I'm going to come to that in a little while, but first of all, let's say something here. A lot of sisters, they complain about, you know, feeling bored, feeling like life is empty. They feel very unfulfilled, right? And one of the other things we hear, you know, a lot of women, they complain, you know, like their husband does not spend enough time with them. He's always out, you know, he's always busy on the computer, like, you know, subhanAllah. And especially if you're single, you tend to feel even more bored. Or if, you know, you don't have too many children to keep you busy, you feel bored. But sometimes even when you've got so many children, you still feel bored because it's just like that mundane routine of life. So you feel like there's something missing in your life, subhanAllah. So one of the biggest problems, one of the biggest problems of having too much time on your hands is that having too much time on your hands, basically it will lead a person to fall into fitna. You're much more likely to fall into fitna and to fall into sins when you have too much time on your hands. So this is why when a sister makes herself busy with seeking knowledge, you find you don't have much time to spend. You know, it takes away from, like, yeah, you're focused on something. You get a focus in life. You know where you're going in life. You're focused on seeking knowledge, and it prevents you from falling into, you know, wasting time and getting into sins. So we need to learn how to focus our time more wisely. This is the biggest problem with most sisters, learning how to focus their time in a more beneficial way for their life. And the other thing you have to always remember too, dear sisters, is for the woman and those of you who are, like, you've gone through your time of raising your children, you'll know very well that a woman goes basically through a life cycle. So for example, when you're young, okay, when you first start out, you're single, you have a great deal of time on your hands. Okay, you have a great deal of time on your hands. Even when you first get married, you have a great deal of time on your hands. But sad to say, the majority of sisters at this time, they waste this precious time. And they don't make use of it to seek knowledge or to learn how to read the Quran, all these things, you know. And subhanAllah, so that time goes. And then before you know it, you've got a number of children, you've got a lot of, you know, mas'uliyah, you've got a lot of responsibilities, and you don't have much time for knowledge. Like, it's hard, much harder for you to get out, to go to lessons, you know. But then what happens is, well, in this life cycle, is that basically after that, you go over this kind of, like, I call a bump, where, you know, alhamdulillah, the kids get older, they get me more independent, and you do start to get your time back again. So you can go back to seeking knowledge all over again in a more serious way. But I want to just mention something here, that for anyone who's younger and you're still in that time frame of having a lot of time in your hands, this is the most precious time to seek knowledge. Because what happens to a lot of sisters is, like, because they didn't start out making use of that time before marriage or before having a lot of children, in, for example, learning how to recite the Quran, learning tajweed, these things, that what happens is, like, they end up with all the children, but now, because they didn't take that time to learn the Quran and these things, they have to send their kids outside. They have to send them to other places to educate their children, rather than being able to educate them themselves. And then, subhanAllah, sometimes before you're even able to start to go to Quran lessons, 20 years could have passed by. So very often what you find is like, subhanAllah, some sisters, subhanAllah, this is not to judge anyone, but I'm just explaining, like, so that you don't fall into this if you've got the chance to not fall into it. But you find that, you know, subhanAllah, already 20 years has passed by and you know very little of the Quran, very little of your deen. So this is why if we can start early, if we're able to, but it's never too late to start. I mean, no matter how old you are, like, alhamdulillah, you came to this lesson today, Let this be a positive start in your life. Don't let any more years of your life, you know, basically, you know, run away from you and you haven't filled this time with seeking beneficial knowledge. So no matter how old you are never too old to start seeking knowledge. I remember when I was studying the Quran school, subhanAllah, some sisters would come in, they're like in their 50s, 60s, subhanAllah, they kept on going. Like the fact that you've got that intention for the sake of Allah, you get so much rewards and hasanat, you know, that from that sincerity, inshallah. So basically, you know, this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised us, you know, to take advantage of five before five. And one of those things is min faraghik min shughlik, like to take advantage of your free time before you get busy, to take advantage of your life before your death, to take advantage of your youth before your old age. These are the times we need to take advantage of. These are the precious times. Because you don't know what's coming after that. Like, if you don't take advantage of this time, like, you might feel you're busy now. But if you don't start doing something, if you don't start making an effort to, for example, go to Quran lessons, go to Sharia classes at least once a week, before you know it, something can happen to you. May Allah protect us all. Like, you get older, you get sick, things like this, and then you're sitting in your bed wishing I could go to this lesson, wishing I could go to that lesson. But you can't, because khalas, the opportunity passed by and you didn't take it when you had the opportunity. So this is why we have to take it while it's there, before it runs away and it never comes back. Maybe we don't know. So subhanAllah, and the other thing too, sisters, is if we look at the majority of sisters, sad to say, you look at what, they know so much about so many things. Like, they can tell you where to get the best specials. They can tell you where the sales are on. They can tell you how to make all different types of dishes, right? But when it comes to the basic things of their deen, like tawheed, shirk, you know, even like the rulings on the prayer, basic things, you find they have little knowledge of these things, very little knowledge. Like, they might, you know, make a lot of mistakes in their prayers and they don't even realize. Like, Allah tells us in the Quran, the majority of people in this world, He says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. He says that the people of this world, they know, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They know all the things of the life of this world. Like, they know the prices, they know, you know, like the names of the actresses and the actors and the singers, and they know all of these things. What's going on in politics, what's going on, all of these things. But when it comes to the affairs of the Akhirah, you find that they're very heedless of these matters and they know very little of these matters. And this is a sad reality, subhanAllah. Okay, so this is why it's very important for us to dedicate at least part of our life towards seeking knowledge. At least part of our life, and we'll get on to talking about that. So that we have that feeling of being enriched. We have that feeling of being fulfilled. Because this is the reason why so many of us are feeling bored. We're feeling like, you know, like, what is life? And all of these sort of feelings we have, because we're not having that enrichment in our life through seeking knowledge. Okay, so from the virtues and benefits and blessings that seeking knowledge brings into your life, once you take this step into it, is basically like, for example, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said, there was nothing that brought me closer to Allah after the fara'id than seeking knowledge. Like, after fulfilling the compulsory duties, there was nothing that brought me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than seeking knowledge. Why? Because subhanAllah, through seeking knowledge, you start to really, like, you start to know about Allah. You start to know about His beautiful names and attributes. Of course, the more you know about Allah, the more you love Him. SubhanAllah, so of course you're going to feel closer to Allah. And also, subhanAllah, the more you seek knowledge, the more it opens up the doors of khayr to you, the doors of goodness. So you start to find out other acts of worship you can do, and there's so many things that come through. And even just being in an environment of seeking knowledge, like, it gets your iman strong. You know, you feel encouraged to want to do more and to strive for your akhirah. So basically what seeking knowledge does, it gives you focus on striving for the akhirah. This is one of the main things. From the benefits of seeking knowledge, one of the greatest benefits of seeking knowledge is the peace of heart you get, the peace of mind you get through seeking knowledge. Because, subhanAllah, you find people who lack knowledge, they have so many doubts, right? And doubts, you know, you've got to realize shaitan will always come to you through your weaknesses. So ignorance is a weakness. Ignorance is a weakness. If you've got ignorance, believe me, Shaitan will be there to use it against you. Put doubts in your heart so you get doubts about Allah, doubts about His religion. And wallahi, sisters, we cannot afford at this time we're living in to have ignorance when we're constantly every day being bombarded by those from the enemies of Islam that want to attack Islam, put Islam down in our eyes. They try. They try their best to put down Islam in our eyes, or to put down our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You understand? And make us look down, subhanAllah. So this is why it's so imperative that each and every one of us to strengthen our resolve within ourselves and in our families. We have to get this knowledge, because your kids, like, everyone's being exposed right now. In the media, everywhere you go, even in the streets, like, you can't even be free to be Muslim anymore. People will come up, attack you, talk to you, like, I'm talking verbal attacks normally. Normally it's verbal attacks. But your children feel that. So they might come back to you with questions. They might start questioning. They feel shaky in their deen. So it's very important for you as a mother to seek knowledge so you can, you know, suffice their, you know, calm down their questions and make them understand their deen, you know, through wisdom. And even for yourself, so you don't have those doubts in your heart, because that can sometimes shake you. All of that fitna can sometimes shake you in yourself and you start to feel weak. So it's very important to seek knowledge for these things. And the other thing also, obviously, too, is in general what we find is people who don't have much knowledge, they tend to make the deen really hard for themselves. Like, I know for a fact that many sisters who I've taught when they first started coming to lessons, like the problem with it, and many people, they, when you talk about, I'm going to give the fiqh of tahara, like, I'm going to teach fiqh of, you know, purification, they say, I know how to take wudu already. I know how to take wudu. They think it's a simple matter. They don't realize it takes 6 months or something like that to study tahara thoroughly. At least 6 months, sometimes even 9 months, command. Even it was more than 6 months. It was about 9 months, I think, we studied tahara, all of it. So, subhanAllah. So, and what you find is people who haven't, you know, don't have much knowledge of their religion, they make the deen really hard for themselves. Like, you'll find they repeat their prayers over and over again. They repeat their wudu over and over again. They go out to the park, they think, oh, I can't take wudu because maybe the najasa will go on me if I go in the toilet. Like, all of these things, they make the deen hard for themselves. So this is one of the things that seeking knowledge does, it, you know, because it gives you, alhamdulillah, you're worshipping Allah on huda. You're worshipping Allah on guidance. So you know that whatever you're doing, you're basing it upon dalil. You're basing it upon evidence. And it gives you peace of mind. So this is from the benefits of seeking knowledge. And obviously as well, the other thing too is there'll always be those type of shaytan, you know, shaytan al-ins. Like, shaytan al-ins will always be there. Like, the devils from mankind will always be there who try to misguide as well. And sometimes deviant sects come along. So if you haven't got a good grasp on your deen, and you haven't got a good grasp on your foundations, it's very easy for someone misguided to come along and just take you off the path of guidance. Like, we see a lot of people today, you know, obviously, yeah, I know there is a need for, you know, English speakers, and definitely there's a need for English speakers, but sometimes the way that people follow the English speakers is like a pop star. And this can be very dangerous, because if that person, you know, that person is not, they're not protected from following their hawa. You know, they're not protected from following their own desires and opinions. So they can come out with something which is not even, it's batil, it's not even from the authentic Quran and Sunnah. And because everyone's following this person like a pop star, they get deviated off the straight path. So we have to be aware of this. This is why it's very important for us to come back to our foundations. I mean, the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he once drew a line in the sand. And then he drew lines coming off that sand. And he said, this is the straight path. And these are the paths that lead to the hellfire. The paths leading off the straight path are the paths leading to the hellfire. On each of these paths, there's a shaitan calling to the hellfire. And so basically what life is like, is like you're going along, struggling, trying your best to stay in a straight path, but there will always be these, like, shaitanic ints. Like, shaitan will try to use people to misguide others. May Allah make us not from amongst them. You know, never to make us from amongst those who misguide others. But we have to be aware of that. Not to follow people like Albert pop stars. Realize, weigh up people's words according to the Quran and Sunnah. This is what we have to do. Weigh up people's words according to the Quran and Sunnah. But how are you going to do that if you haven't got knowledge in the first place? If you haven't got the knowledge to do that in the first place, you can't differentiate between the haq and the batin. So to you, if you haven't got knowledge, someone speaking batin, it sounds like haq. Because especially as women, we get taken away by emotions. If someone comes along with an emotional way of speaking, you think, oh, that sounds really nice. But what they're saying, subhanAllah, is not in line with the Quran and Sunnah. So we have to realize this. Okay, another benefit or blessing that you get from seeking knowledge is being able to recognize the sicknesses of your own heart. Okay, now, the sicknesses of the heart, like, there's many diseases, it's many amrad al-qalb, such as doubts, such as hasad, you know, jealousy, such as hiqd, you know, hatred, such as riyah, showing off, da'af al-iman, you know, weakness of iman. So subhanAllah, if we have knowledge, when you seek knowledge, what will happen is, you're able, first of all, to identify these diseases in your heart and realize, wait a minute, I can feel I've got this disease coming in my heart. And then you also know how to remedy this. Like, you become your own doctor, right? You become your own doctor and you can go and you know, you can basically work out what the prescription is that you need to take in order for you to fix up this problem that you have in your heart, subhanAllah. So this is another of the benefits of seeking knowledge. Obviously, from the great benefits of seeking knowledge also is knowledge leads to a'mal. It leads to action, it leads to righteous deeds. And we see the salaf, if we look at the salaf, the righteous salaf, we see how much they were racing towards the good deeds. They were rushing and racing towards the good deeds. What was the main thing that's fueling that? What's the main thing fueling that racing to good deeds? It's the knowledge of Allah. The knowledge of his deen, the knowledge of the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the more you increase in that, the more, as I said, you get focused, you want to race for the good deeds. Look at Imam Ahmad rahimallah. It was from his habit to pray 300 rak'ah nawafid. 300 rak'ah nawafid, that's on top of his fard prayers. That's every day. That's not Ramadan. That's not Ramadan, that's during the whole year. That's the normal day for him. And then after he was imprisoned, because subhanAllah he got like beaten and stuff like that, you know, he became weakened through the, you know, the punishment he went through in prison, he could only pray 150 rak'ah when he came out. I mean, may Allah forgive us and have mercy upon us. We're lucky if we can do the 12 nawafil every single day. May Allah keep us firm upon it. The 12 nawafil that the Messenger of Allah told us, whoever prays these 12 nawafil prayers, these 12 sunnah prayers, that they're called the rawatib prayers, they're connected to the fard prayers, that Allah will build for them a house in Jannah, inshallah. May Allah help us to be steadfast upon these prayers. But we see how much the salaf were filling their time with the recitation and memorization of the Quran, with, you know, qiyam al-layl, with sadaqah, with striving, with, you know, serving the ummah, like so many things. Like, they were just very busy in filling their time with everything that benefits, teaching, giving fatawa. Like, this was how they spent their whole lives. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah has reported that he used to recite the Quran 30 times. He used to recite it 30 times each month. And in Ramadan, he used to recite it 60 times. Like, look at us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, like I said, he may forgive us. Many of us, we maybe only pick up the Quran in Ramadan, which is very sad. This is wrong to only pick up the Quran in Ramadan. If this is our case, we need to cry over ourselves. How do you claim to love Allah and you are far away from his words? The Quran is Kalam Allah. So how can we be far away from his words? SubhanAllah. So if we truly love Allah, if you truly claim to love Allah, you should have a relationship with the words of Allah every single day of your life. You can't be away from it. And the one day that you didn't have your time to sit with the Kalam Allah and to recite the Kalam Allah, the Quran, you feel your day was not, you feel there's something wrong with your day. There's something deficient in your day. This is how we should feel. One day goes by, we didn't recite from the words of Allah, then we should feel there's something deficient in our day. So this is how we see that knowledge is truly a path to Jannah, because of the way it opens up the a'mal for you. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever takes a path in which he seeks knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the path to Jannah easy for him. So we see that this is, you know, from the keys, if we want really Jannah, the best ways to reach the Jannah is to take this path of seeking knowledge, because of the way it opens up so many doors of khair for you. And why is that? Because we said knowledge, what does it do? It leads to fear of Allah. And what does fear of Allah do? It leads to a'mal, it leads to action. That's what Allah said, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. Those who truly fear Allah are from those who are from the ulama, who have knowledge of His religion. They are the ones who fear Allah. How is fearing Allah? Fearing Allah is not just having tears when you hear about Allah mentioned. It's not just that. It's about putting the deen into action. So the more that you put the deen into action, inshallah, in your life, the more you're showing your fear of Allah. Also, da'wah, of course, is another fruit of seeking knowledge. So this is another thing, you know, that opens up the door of da'wah as well. So these are all the things that open up for you when you take this path of knowledge. So this is what we see, that, you know, people who complain about their life, you know, feeling empty, feeling bored, they don't realize how when you fill your life and with the khayr, with the righteous deeds of seeking knowledge and the amal that comes along with it, this is how you fill your life with nur, with light, and with huda, inshallah, with guidance from Allah. So the other thing too that knowledge does for you is that, you know, seeking knowledge is a huge protector, like we said, from sins and from fitnah. You don't have, because what happens is you get so busy seeking knowledge, you don't have time to mix too much. You find people away from seeking knowledge, what do they do? What is it? They just gather around food. It's always gathering around food, talking about things that bring no benefit in this life or the next. Talking about dunya. That's all it is. Talking about dunya. That's all their gatherings are filled with. And what benefit does that bring you in this life and the next? I'm not saying you shouldn't socialize sometimes, but make it a treat. It shouldn't be something you do every single day. You're never going to have time to seek knowledge as long as you're filling your time with just getting gathering and talking and eating. That's not going to help you to. It's not beneficial. Like, what's it going to be on your qiyamah in your scale? What's it going to be? Most likely, it's going to be, unfortunately, not in the side of the scale that you want it to be in. You know? So this is the thing. The more that you're seeking knowledge, you start to, you know, get more focused in your life. So you don't have time to be mixing so much and wasting time and getting into fitna things. And you get busy with all sort of righteous seeds that are flow on from that seeking knowledge. Another benefit of seeking knowledge, dear sisters, is your iman constantly, you're able to keep it at a higher level. You feel halawat al-iman, you feel the sweetness of iman. Because why? Because you're constantly refueling your iman. But what do we know about iman? That iman, yazidu bit-ta'at, it goes up and increases with the righteous deeds. Wa yanqus bil-ma'asi, you know, al-ma'asi, like it decreases with ma'asiyah. It decreases with the ma'asiyah, like with the disobedience to Allah. So sins and disobedience makes the iman go down. So the more that you're trying, like obviously, you know, you're seeking knowledge, you know, we know that, for example, the Messenger of Allah mentioned that, you know, the forgiveness of Allah that you're acquiring through seeking knowledge, you know, the rewards you're getting through seeking knowledge. So obviously by doing that, by taking that path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're constantly refueling your iman, you're constantly reminding yourself of Allah and the akhirah. And the company you're keeping as well. You see the company you're keeping. One sister in the class is doing a project on sabaqah. She's doing a project for sabaqah. Another one, she goes and visits sisters. Another one's doing this. You find everyone in class, they're striving in one way or another in their own specialities. Like everyone has their own speciality. Right? So everyone's striving in their own unique speciality for the akhirah. But the point is, when you're in that environment, it encourages you, makes you think, I need to do more, I'm not doing enough for my akhirah. See, this is how your iman is constantly refueled through seeking knowledge. The other thing, you know, subhanAllah, seeking knowledge gives you a great deal of happiness in your heart. Don't you feel happy? Don't you obviously feel much more happy to know when you're praying the way that the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to pray, not just what your mum taught you or your grandmother, but everything you're doing in the prayer, you know there's a dalil for it, and you know what that dalil is, you know what that evidence is for what you're doing in your prayer. So you're worshipping Allah on huda. You're worshipping Allah on guidance. You're not just worshipping Allah like from blindly following whatever your family taught you, but you're worshipping Him upon end. And it takes a different level. It gives you a different level in religion, and it brings happiness to your heart. As the Messenger of Allah told us, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. Pray as you've seen me praying. خُذُوا مِنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Like, take from me your rights for Hajj and Umrah. You know, so when you go to Hajj and Umrah, you know what are the rulings and the ahkam for Hajj and Umrah. You feel happiness in your heart that you know you're doing everything from itba', from following the Messenger of Allah. And we know that, remember what Allah says in the Quran. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that He created death and life to test you to see which one of you is best in deeds. He did not say أَكْثَرَ عَمَلًا. He didn't say the most in deeds. He said أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, the best of deeds. What makes the best of deeds to Allah? What makes the best of deeds to Allah? Al-ikhlas, doing that deed sincerely for Allah alone, not making any partners without riyah. And then after that, secondly, doing it in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the more that our deed has ikhlas, and the more that you're doing it based upon the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not on innovation, not on, you know, ignorance, but on true knowledge from what the Messenger of Allah taught us, the true guidance from the Messenger of Allah, the more love that deed is to Allah. This is why, you know, a person upon the sunnah, they might do less deeds than a person on bid'ah, on innovations, but their deeds are more loved to Allah because their deeds are more fulfilling these two conditions of having your ibadah accepted. Right? And also too, because, you know, for example, like someone, maybe they do millions of saying subhanAllah every day, but where's their khushu'? So it's not so much about doing more deeds, it's doing them in a more perfect way, in a way that Allah loves. This is what we should be aiming for, perfecting our deeds over trying to do so much and then not getting anything really out of it and not having khushu' in what we're doing. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit now about the path to seeking knowledge. Now, I've tried to cover as much as I can, but like people might have individual questions they want to ask, and that's fine. We'll get to that at the end. So if you write down any questions you have, and then we can deal with any individual questions at the end. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, how to seek knowledge, especially for our situation as being mothers and wives. We have a different situation than men. Like men in general, really, they have, like, yes, they have to work, but then they basically, like, they come back from work and they basically, I mean, a lot of ways, they're off the hook. But as you know, as a mother or a wife, you're never really off the hook. Like, 24, like, you're really on call. Okay, so it's different. Our situation is different. We can't just go abandon the house and, you know what I mean? But there has to be someone at home to raise those children and to keep the household together. So, okay, so how to seek knowledge? You know, first of all, we have to realize that knowledge is a blessing from Allah. Knowledge is a blessing from Allah, and it's something that Allah gives. He only gives it to whom He wants good for. Like as the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He told us, "May yudini Allahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi ddin." Whoever Allah wants good for them, He gives them the comprehension of the religion. He gives them the understanding of the religion. So if we want this, you know, if we want this end from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to realize that it is a rizq from Allah, it is a provision from Allah. We have to seek it from Allah. And how do we do that? First of all, by having ikhlas. We have to purify our intention. We have to purify our intention for the sake of Allah. and make our intention in seeking this knowledge, that our first and foremost intention in seeking this knowledge, we want this knowledge to bring us closer to Allah. All right? This is the main reason why we want to seek knowledge, to bring ourselves closer to Allah, to know Allah more and feel close to Him. And inshallah, that it opens up a path for us to Jannah, inshallah. Then the other thing, as part of this as well, is that the main reason for seeking knowledge should be so we can implement into our lives. We start with ourselves. We start with ourselves. So we get knowledge for ourselves, get knowledge for our families. This should be our intention in seeking knowledge, so that we can, you know, implement in our lives and improve ourselves through this knowledge. This should be, inshallah, our first and foremost intention. And we have to realize that the true person of knowledge, this is, you know, the true person of knowledge is the one who takes that action, takes that knowledge and turns it into action. So not, it's not enough just to have knowledge. It's not enough to just memorize books or to know things. This knowledge should come out in your actions. And from those actions is, we should see humbleness, and a good character comes out of the person who seeks knowledge. So if a person, by them increasing their knowledge, we don't see, you know, a beautiful character coming out of that person, humbleness, you know, friendliness, these kind of beautiful characteristics which the Prophet ﷺ told us, these are the love characteristics, right? Then this shows this knowledge is not benefiting this person. So knowledge should not make you become more aggressive and harsh with people. Knowledge should beautify your character and subhanAllah, it should bring you humbleness with others, inshallah, not to become stuck up and look down on people because you know more than others or something like this. Okay, then the other thing, why? Because if you've got knowledge, obviously, if you've got true knowledge, it should increase your fear of Allah. So from your fear of Allah, you feel too scared from Allah to treat somebody to treat them like looking down on them and to act proud over them or something like this. Because you've got fear of Allah. You know, Allah is watching you. That's the one who has true knowledge. Okay, then the other thing is, obviously, you have to make knowledge a priority in your life. If you really want to seek knowledge, you have to make it as a priority. Really, sisters, don't tell me I'm too busy. It's not an excuse. Let's have a look at our daily life. Just have a little think for a moment about your own day. How much time do we spend on wasteful matters? We spend maybe, if we add it up, like one time, subhanAllah, I found that my daughter showed me a place on my phone where you can actually see how many hours you spent in the last week on particular apps. And subhanAllah, you might find, you look at that part on your phone, I'm on the iPhone, I don't know about every other phone, but there's a particular place on the iPhone, which is really scary to contemplate, where you can actually see how many hours you've spent in that week. And do you know, if you work it out, you think about it. If you've spent only one, you might think it's only 1 hour a day you're spending on social media, for example. But you add that up in a whole week, that's like 7 hours already gone. 7 hours. What could you have done in that 7 hours? See, we have to realize there's so many things we're doing in our day life, we are totally wasting our time. Some women, the way they waste time, they go overboard in their housework. I mean, yes, it's beautiful to have a nice house and get rewarded for keeping your house beautiful for your husband. But not to the level where you just constantly, all you do is dust every single day, the house from top to bottom, you know, like, and they're just so concerned with their furniture and everything, like how the house looks. And then you ask them, oh, why don't you come to Quran lessons or come to some, like, halaqat al-ilm? They tell you, oh, I don't have time. Why? You've got to put a house. Like, all she does, you know, but also, do you think she feels really fulfilled like that? That's what I was saying before. Do you think she really feels fulfilled? You'll find she doesn't. She feels empty. SubhanAllah. Because why? Because look at how she's spending her time. You know, like, inshallah she gets rewarded for, like I said, you know, pleasing her husband. But trust me, most husbands, they don't require that level. It's usually the woman. It's not the man. It's not the husband. The husband wouldn't even notice if you had polished that TV twice today. He won't notice that. You know, most husbands, are just what they're looking for is a happy wife, in fact. They're more happy with a happy wife than they are to have a wife that polished the TV and she's unhappy. You know what I mean? So we'll talk about that in another lesson. We talk about husbands and wives. But anyway, it's about making knowledge a priority. A priority every single day and a priority every single week. Like, what I mean by that is, you should have certain days where you, in your time slot, your schedule, you put aside, this is my time to go and memorize the Quran, for example, or go and learn Tajweed. I have that time blocked off, right? Or my time to do Sharia classes. I have a particular time in the week where I go to that. And then I have to have daily time. So you schedule your time. Now, I can't tell you when that time is, but like, if you're memorizing the Quran, the best time to memorize the Quran is in the morning. Like when you're fresh, before your brain gets frazzled from all the responsibilities and children that, you know, so like, for example, early in the morning, if you can, after Fajr, or like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning, this is the best time to memorize the Quran, to really take in the ayat. So it's about scheduling your time. Now, seeking knowledge, like, it can be at night time. Like, if you find your, like, and see, I was going to say something to you as well. Like, now, some sisters, like I said before, they complain about, like, my husband's too busy and he's always out. You don't realize you could turn that into a ni'mah for yourself. Like, instead of sitting there crying over yourself, like, why my husband hasn't been up time, think to yourself, wallahi, Allah has blessed me and given me all this time where I can seek knowledge. You know? Instead of sitting there, like, upset your husband's not home, go seek knowledge and make use of it. Some women, they can't get away from their husbands. Like, they want to seek knowledge, but their husband's always around and they can't get away and look at anything, you know what I mean? So make use of your time. So it's about putting a little bit of time aside. Like, a lot of people also, you need to be patient. Seeking knowledge requires patience. The Messenger of Allah told us, al-ilm bit-ta'allum. Knowledge is by learning. Like, you don't wake up one morning and become a knowledgeable person. Any alim in this world did not wake up one morning and suddenly they had memorized the whole Quran and knew all the ahkam on the Sharia. You know, like, it took years and years and years of doing a certain amount of working towards that goal every single day of their lives. So it's about the daily habits that you lay down for yourself. Overall adds up. You know what I mean? And you'll see a difference in yourself. If you're the, you know, alhamdulillah, like, sisters who first revert to Islam or come back to Islam, if they got themselves into Quran classes and things like that, you'll see a difference that sometimes 20 years passes by, and another sister who didn't do that, and she's come a long way where the other one who she started out with has hardly progressed. And that's not to criticize anyone, but I'm just trying to show you that this is the difference. If you just make that a daily habit, you will get somewhere. You will come along. But don't be impatient. Don't think it comes overnight. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes dua. You have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to really want that, you know? Okay, so one of the mistakes we find when it comes to seeking knowledge is that a lot of people and sisters, they jump from one thing to the next. Like, a new Sharia class starts up. It's like, oh, we're all excited, you know, we all join. But like, after a few weeks or months, it all dwindles down, you know, and then a new class starts up, oh, let's all go to that. You know, it's just all about what's new and exciting. But once it gets boring, it's like they go on to the next thing which sounds exciting and new, you know. But you have to realize, if you're going to jump from one thing to the next, basically you're never going to really get anywhere. The only way to seek knowledge is to be consistent. Start into something and see it all the way through, from the beginning to the end. And that takes a lot of patience, that most people don't have this patience. But it's the only way to seek knowledge. You have to see your subjects through, see it through to the end. And then the other thing we find, another mistake a lot of people make, and you know, you see this with sisters in particular, or even, I shouldn't say that, even brothers, they do the same thing. But what they do is, they think seeking knowledge is seeking knowledge about minor branches of Islam. Okay, so what you find is, like, they might go and find all about Yawm al-Qiyamah, like the day of, like, you know, the signs of the day of judgment, for example. The signs of the day of judgment. They go and look into that so much. Or they go and, you know, they want to know all about the jinn, the exciting topics. You know what I mean? The things that get people to go to lessons, right? Like, we're having a lesson about seeking knowledge today. We should see the whole room full, but, you know, that's a boring topic to most people. That's not an exciting topic. If I was going to talk to you about jinn, I'd see the whole room full. But that's the reality. That's how most people are. Like, they just want the exciting, but that's not how to seek knowledge. Seeking knowledge, you have to be patient, and you're going to have to study things that are not always exciting. But you will benefit, ultimately, by being patient and seeing through that knowledge. Another one that people get into these days is, you know, takfir. You know, like, you know, a lot of people, they get into religion, the first topic they go to, ahkam of takfir. Like, how can I make kufr on, you know, how can I make someone a kafir? Like, what are the rulings on that? And they go right into that. But yet, if I say, oh, by the way, how much Quran have you memorized? They probably haven't even done juzamma. And they probably can't even recite correctly according to tajweed. You know, like, so look at the way we're approaching the knowledge. That's not seriousness in knowledge. By approaching knowledge in this way. It's not about excitement issues or going to minor branches of Islam. It's about starting from the beginning, starting with your foundation subjects. You know, the first foundation subject everyone should be focusing on is Aqidah, Tawheed, starting off with that, understanding it, you know, and getting a good grasp on it. Understanding fiqh, because fiqh is your life, it's your, you know, your daily life. It's, fiqh is all about your, you know, the rulings on what you do every single day. Knowing how to pray, knowing how to take wudu, you know, all of these different things. And then also Quran. How can someone be a true seeker of knowledge and they don't have a Quran program? We see a lot of sisters, like, they go and they do Sharia classes, but they don't have any Quran program. The Quran is the beginning of Aqidah and the end of Aqidah. Like, there was one sheikh, he went and studied all of Aqidah, he got a master's in Aqidah. He came out, he asked his chef, now what do I do? How do I feel the Aqidah? He said, I understand the Aqidah, but I don't feel the Aqidah. His chef told him, go to the Quran. That's how you feel the Aqidah. That's what brings the Aqidah alive. That's where does fiqh come from? The Quran. So you have to be with the Quran. That should be your first and foremost priority. You will not find one scholar on the face of this earth who didn't start with the Quran. The Quran has to always be. That's why you find in the schedule of ulama, the first thing they do, they teach their kids the Quran first when they're young, and then after that they start, go look at all the biographies of the great ulama, like Imam Shafi'i, you know, Imam Ahmed. You'll find the first thing you see in their biography, they memorize the Quran by the time they were 6 or 7 years old. I'm not saying we should memorize, like, it's harder for us to make our kids memorize Quran by 6 or 7, inshallah. I hope to have, inshallah, soon a lesson also about this particular point of teaching your kids the Quran, inshallah, if you're interested. But this should be a priority. Quran should be a priority in our routine. If you want to be, depending on how serious you want to be in seeking knowledge, Arabic should be part of your schedule. But, like, it depends. Like, everyone, look, we don't have to all seek knowledge on the same level. For most women, it's perfectly fine. Just go seek knowledge about your tawheed. Go seek knowledge about the fiqh rulings, like on your daily life. That's more than enough. That's your essentials. You've covered your essentials. You've covered your foundations. Inshallah, that's yakfi. You know what I mean? But if you want to go more and deeper, you want to be a teacher, you want to go further, you can't get away from studying Arabic. You have to know Arabic. You have to be understand the Quran, its original language, the deen. Like, you want to say from the ulama, you've got to be able to understand Arabic. You have to learn it. So this is another important thing. Okay, so then we come to time management. So, like I was saying before, there's got to be a schedule for yourself. You're going to make a schedule for yourself, a weekly schedule, a daily schedule. You know, when I remember when I was first married, for example, and it was just me and my husband, sometimes I used to feel like a little bit bored just, you know, cooking, looking after my son. So, like, my son would be playing, and I'd use that time to, for example, I was teaching myself away, like Arabic grammar at that time. And I used to always, alhamdulillah, put that time to memorize the Quran. Even when I was breastfeeding, it's a good time to memorize the Quran, for example. So, you know, you've got to learn how to juggle. As a woman, you have to learn how to juggle your lifestyle to fit in with the Quran, like, or seeking knowledge in general. Like, so, you know, alhamdulillah, in general, women are pretty good at multitasking. So this is a way for you. Like, if you're seeing yourself, you're doing something, you're doing maybe a mundane household chore, right? And you think that there's something you could be doing alongside it that could be benefiting you. Like, maybe listening to a lecture, like, maybe you're cleaning up your kitchen and that can be very boring. I know it can be, may Allah reward us all. But at the same time, you could be putting on a lecture and learning something while you're cleaning up your kitchen, and then you're not, like, you know, you're killing two birds with one stone, and imagine how much hasanah you're getting, inshallah.
Sorry, the Albayan app is very good.
Inshallah. Barakallahu feekum for that. So yeah, you can download, for example, the Al Bayan radio app. You can listen to the lectures. They have even English lectures on there as well. So that's another thing you can do. You can put on, yes, Al Bayan radio or any of the Islamic.
Well, here in Australia, we're pretty limited actually with the ones without music and stuff. Okay, so that's what, you know, I used to do. That used to make me feel more fulfilled. You know, having that time where I'd say, this is my time for Arabic. Like, for example, my son goes to bed. I put my son down when he's very small. And then I've got 2 hours to myself. It's like, that would be my time to sit down and do my Arabic. And then I feel really happy when he wakes up because I feel like I've done something for myself. Some sisters, it might be before going to bed. You know, they might sit and just, you know, do something before going to bed. Or for you, it might be extra after fajr. You've got to see with your own lifestyle what fits in with you. Okay, the other thing which is important, I think, for sisters, I've noticed some sisters, they kind of overdo it a bit. Like, they're doing too much. They're going to 2 lessons every week. Like, you should choose some that are really benefiting you and stick to that. Like, if you've got children, you can't be going out of the house so much if you want to get somewhere. You know, you need to kind of cut back on things. And like, you can't be having a lesson every single day of the week, because what will happen is you spread yourself too thin. It's better for you to do a couple of lessons and do them really well and really get a lot out of it, rather than to go to a lesson every single week and be like, well, I'm going to this one's lesson. But if I ask you about the questions about what you've learned, you really can't do much, because it's too much, it's overload. Okay, so we have to be careful not to overdo it. And just concentrate on one thing at a time. Don't try to do too much, because you'll end up not really getting anywhere. Another thing, obviously, is writing down the knowledge. It's very important. Like, you shouldn't go to any lesson without writing down. Like, you should always go with a pen and paper to write down points, because it's been proven that just when you go to a lesson, any lecture, any lesson, you will only retain, I think it's like something like 30% from what you've heard if you haven't written it down. When you write it down, I think you retain around about 80%, something like that. But once you leave this room today, like, you'll remember for about an hour some of the things I've said, but the majority of things, if I ask you a week later, what did we talk about, you probably just remember a story I told you, and that's about it. And you won't remember the key points. So it's very important, if you really want to benefit from any gathering of knowledge, that you take, you know, pen and paper with you, or even type in your phone, but you just make notes. It's very important. Okay, and then another thing, obviously, if we want to seek knowledge, we need to try to keep away from sins as well. Try to keep away from sins. Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah and Allah will teach you. Allah says, fear Allah and Allah will teach you. So Allah, you know, like we said, people think risk is only money. People think provision is only money and wealth. They don't realize that knowledge is a risk from Allah. So if we want this risk from Allah, we do have to try to keep away from sins as much as possible. Inshallah, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows this blessing upon us, inshallah. May Allah increase us in it. And this is why, you know, make a lot of istighfar as well. Ask Allah, you know, make istighfar a lot. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Like, try to, you know, repent, make tawbah, make istighfar. We see this from the story of what happened with Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. You've probably heard that story before, about one time, and mashallah barak, Imam Shafi'i was a genius. He was truly a genius. And he used to memorize things very, very simply, like just look at a page and he already memorized it just like that. But one time, he was having some trouble memorizing, and he complained to his chef, Al-Waqi'a, you know, about he couldn't memorize something. And he told him, Al-Waqi'a, you know, his chef told him, he said that, He advised him to leave sins. He said, leave sins. Be aware of sins. He said, because ilm is nur. Knowledge is nur. Knowledge is nur. And the nur of Allah, the light of Allah, is not given to a sinner. The light of Allah, the nur of Allah, is not given to a sinner. So that's why, dear sisters, if we find we're having trouble getting into seeking knowledge, like attending lessons, going to halaqat al-ilm, going to Quran classes, we should also check within our hearts. Maybe we have a build-up of sins that's preventing us from coming to Allah through seeking knowledge, through going to lessons, through learning the Quran. We should look into our heart. Maybe there's sins in our heart that's blocking us, because We think that we go to lessons like by our own will, right? But we don't realize that when you go to a lesson, it's actually Allah blessed you to come here. Like even you, every one of you today, you think you came here by yourself, but you don't realize, subhanAllah, it was only by the blessing of Allah that you came here today. Inshallah, it shows me that, inshallah, Ya Rab, Allah wants good for every one of you. The fact that you came here today, you took that time out on a Sunday morning, it shows, inshallah, there's sincerity. You want the good. But you have to realize that it shows Allah wants the good for you if you were able to do that, inshallah. And make an intention from today that to change your life. To change your life from today. Don't let this life go by and you feel unfulfilled. Don't be the one who's on his deathbed, on her deathbed, looking back at their life, thinking, having lots of regrets and thinking, I wish I did this, I wish I had spent more time memorizing the Quran, reading the Quran, seeking knowledge. Don't be that one. Because it's a very painful type of regret. So do your best and know that as long as you're in this path, Allah rewards you according to your intention. Okay, so let's come to now. Well, one more thing too. I did mention it before, but like about seeking knowledge. If you want to seek knowledge, you need to learn to cut out the unnecessary things from your life. If you want to be serious about seeking knowledge, you do have to cut out the unnecessary things from your life. Like I said, cut back on the socialization, obviously. Going out of your house too much. Like, look, if you can try to, instead of going out every single day, like no matter what we want to think about ourselves, alhamdulillah, we have to realize that the woman has not been created like the man. And you know yourself, I know myself, when I go out every single day, I get tired. By the time you come back, your brain is frazzled, you can't even think about seeking knowledge, you know? So it's very important we have days at home where we don't go out, we stay at home, we use that time, inshallah, at home to concentrate on seeking knowledge. To try to cut back on your going out. Women go out far too much now. Like, it wasn't like this in the time of Sahaba. They used to be home much, much more. But now women, like, now we're going out so much. Of course, some things we can't avoid. We're going to take maybe the kids to school, things like that. But maybe if you can try to reschedule yourself so that you go out only once a week to go shopping. Instead of going out many times a week, when you're getting tired going in and out, once a week to go shopping, or inshallah, you can try to arrange it with your husband to go shopping for you. Things like that, you know, try to work your ways around it so that you can try to stay home more, will help you to be able to focus more on seeking knowledge, inshallah. I know we're all in different situations. We don't always have that priority, you know, we don't always have that, but we're able to change these things, but try your best to do this. Everyone has to look at their own situation, see what they can do. But I guarantee if you ever look at their life, there are things you can cut out, especially like the social media, like I said before. There's so many things we can cut back on to get back some time for ourselves to use it wisely, inshallah, and for what benefits us. Okay, now let's talk about balancing the family life as well here. And that is, it is really important, if a woman hopes to seek knowledge, it is important to have that support of the husband. It does help greatly. It does help greatly. So any young sister here who wants to seek knowledge, I would advise her to, you know, before getting married, to make sure her husband's a type that does support his wife in seeking knowledge. Because if the husband's not really behind you, that can be a hindrance, it can stop you. So, but even if the husband doesn't 100% support the woman, alhamdulillah, like now, we have so many ways of seeking knowledge, different from the past. Like, you don't have to always go out of your house to seek knowledge. You can seek knowledge inside your home. Like, Allah has blessed us with this internet. Like, this internet can be used for lots of disobedience and sins, but if you use it wisely, there's so much blessing that comes through it. And you can learn so much through the internet. You can learn Arabic through the internet. You can learn Quran through the internet. You can learn your deen, you know, as long as you know where to go, though, because get some advice. I advise you to seek advice from a trustworthy sheikh of where to go to seek your knowledge on the internet, because as we know, the internet's caused a lot of problems for a lot of people. You're getting lost on the internet. It's a big ocean that you can easily get lost in. We have to remember, dear sisters, that when it comes to the husband, we cannot change our husband. Right? You cannot change other people. We have to learn this from the beginning. Like some women, they start seeking knowledge, they get really excited, they think, why doesn't my husband seek knowledge? Like, he doesn't go to lessons, he doesn't do anything, why? You know, like, and they get frustrated with their husbands, and sometimes they start to even look down on their husbands because their husband's not keeping up to the level that she's on of trying to seek knowledge. So it's very important that we don't start looking down on our husband and accept the reality that you cannot change someone else. You can't force someone to be the way you want them to be. I think that's the most important rule to take from the very beginning. But just accept it the way he is, and you yourself, focus on yourself, focus on bettering yourself and seeking knowledge. And when you share things with him, talk about it from your own personal perspective, how this is benefiting you in so many ways, like how fulfilled you feel, you know, what you learned, something that you loved about that you learned recently. You know, share those kind of things with him. Let him see the good effect on you with your character, your way of treating him. Those are things that are going to more likely encourage him to want to seek knowledge than you sort of like harping on him. Or, you know, make it into an enjoyable thing where you say, let's go to this lesson together. I'm not going out with you. Let's go together this time and come and just try it. You know, something like that. You can maybe try that. But really, it's pretty rare. I mean, there are some sisters that they go to lessons with their husbands. That's really nice. But in all reality, it's pretty rare to find that. You know, alhamdulillah, if you've got that, that's mashallah, beautiful for you. But a lot of sisters don't have that. They just go to lessons on their own and their husband, you know, he goes to Jummah or something like that. But some of the men, they learn at home, like they listen to Mashayikh, like on the internet and stuff like that. That's how they learn that way. So we have to realise the different circumstances for everyone. The other thing too, sisters, here I want to mention is that we have to balance our priorities. You know, seeking knowledge is a sunnah mustahabba, like it's a recommended, like it's a rewardable thing you're doing, but ultimately it's a sunnah. But if it's, of course it's your foundation, it's wajib, like it's coming to tawheed, it's coming to the what you need for your life, which you need to know to practice your deen, of course that type of knowledge is wajib. But after that, it's basically sunnah. So we can't sacrifice our wajib at home in order to go for a sunnah. So we have to learn how to balance that. Like, so there's nothing wrong with, of course, you know, seeking knowledge. We should try our best to prioritize our time to seek knowledge, but at the same time we shouldn't go so overboard that we're constantly just outside and just, you know, seeking knowledge completely, and then our children are going astray, our marriage is falling apart. But that shouldn't be. Okay, so we have to always remember that you have to give priority always, you know, your husband, keeping your family firmly upon the straight path. Like Allah says, "Qoo anfusakum wa ahlikum nara." Save yourselves and your families from the fire. So this should be your priority. Don't sacrifice, like, you know, may Allah reward those sisters who go to help other sisters or go to their house a lot to help people. But you've got to remind yourself, as a sister, like as a woman, your wajib, you know, it starts with your home first. You know, Allah says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرَّجُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. Like, don't go out of the houses all the time displaying your beauty. So, like, our base should be our home, not the other way around. Now we find sisters, their base is outside, and every now and again, she comes home. You know what I mean? Like, go to Bankstown Square, they're just always out, Gloria Jean's having coffee. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't have coffee, Gloria Jean, sometimes. I'm just saying, like, people, like, you look at it. Drop off the kids, go to the coffee shop. That's their daily routine. They're out of the house all the time. It's like, go to the shops. They spend half the day or three quarters of the day outside the house. You know, so, and then, okay, but even with seeking knowledge, like, it's a good thing you're doing, but you can't put all that, like, you know, you can't put your what's important, what's more important aside for you know, something that's sunnah. So you have to put priority. You have to make sure that, you know, your household is stabilized. And then after you've done that, if you can achieve that, then you can think about, you know, seeking knowledge and doing outside activities as much as you can to your ability. And don't overdo it. Like, learn to say no. Learn to say, this is as much as I can do. And I can't do more than that. Because a lot of sisters have trouble saying no. You know, like, oh, do you want to come join this class? Oh, okay. Do you want to join this class? Oh, yeah, all right. And then they join up to 100, like, all these classes. And oh, like, okay, look, we're going to go do this activity, you know, like, helping people or whatever. But they want to do everything. But in the end, like, this is a sad reality. At this time we're living in, we can't afford to be abandoning our houses. We need to be home, maintaining, making sure that there's a strong foundation of the home, because this ummah is made up of households. So we have to worry about our household, keeping our household together. Not, you know, like neglecting the husband so much that we end up in divorce, or neglecting our children so that, like, you're seeking knowledge. MashaAllah, look at you. But look at your kids. They're not on the straight path. They're astray. They don't have much knowledge of religion. You haven't taught them the Quran. You haven't been careful to bring them up properly and give them the proper tarbiyah. This is more important for you as a woman. So we have to put our priorities into order. So I think I've mentioned most of the things that I wanted to mention. You know, inshallah, if anyone has questions, I'll be more than happy to answer any questions you might have about, you know, any individual problems or questions that you might have. Remember that, you know, the Messenger of Allah, in finishing up, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions us about, you know, all of our wajib actions of, you know, prayers and fasting and all of those acts of ibadah, then the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us that لَا تَزُولُ قَدَمَ عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسْأَلُ عَنْ أَرْبَعٍ, that a person would not move a foot on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ until they ask about four matters. And from those four matters is about his knowledge and how he acted upon it. So we have to realize that knowledge is something we'd be even asked about. And you know that when you first go to your grave, you know, subhanAllah, you'll be asked, who is your Lord? What is your religion? Who is your prophet? And how will you have yaqeen to be able to answer the questions? It's all through knowledge and through acting upon that knowledge. So knowledge it cannot be overlooked. It's a very essential part of the life of a Muslim. As any part of knowledge that is essential to know, like things like tawheed and your foundation in aqeedah, your foundation in prayers and fasting and all of the acts of worship which is compulsory upon us, it is wajib to seek knowledge of that type of knowledge, to know it so that we can know it for ourselves, not for our families. So inshallah, I'll leave it there. I'll finish by, you know, there's a dua which we can also say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min 'ilmin la yanfa'. Oh Allah, I ask or I seek refuge with you from knowledge that does not benefit. Wa qalbin la yakhsha, and a heart that does not fear you. Wa nafsin la tushba, and a nafs, a self that does not get satisfied. Wa da'watin la yustajaba laha, and a dua which does not get answered. Inshallah. So, you know, if anyone has any questions, I'll leave it at that. And if you've got any questions, I'll be happy to answer.